Good evening, Jets fans. I am Glenn Naughton. This is Jet Nation Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. Special episode, short episode. This is basically an opportunity for us to chime in. As you've all heard by now, Adam Gase, newest head coach for the New York Jets. Reaction has been heavily, heavily unfavorable from what I've seen through Jets Twitter, through the forums at JetNation.com. We're going to be joined in a little while by Manish Mehta of the New York Daily News. Manish is going to share his thoughts on the hiring of Adam Gase, a hiring that honestly shocked me. It really did. I thought Gase was an outsider. I really thought Matt Rhule was the target. For those of you who tuned in last night or tried to listen to last night's episode, I do apologize. I did a little over an hour, and then when I went to load the episode, it told me it had only recorded 12 minutes. So 48 to 55 minutes of me just rambling on to myself. So my apologies for that. Hopefully this will make up for it. Again, short episode, but let's face it, it's a key issue, and it's something that we all want to discuss and get our thoughts out there. And what I'd said last night is that I didn't expect it to be Adam Gase. I thought it was Matt Rhule. I thought he was the number one target. I thought that was obvious in how the Jets were going about pursuing him. He was the only target that there seemed to be an effort to keep things quiet. Everyone else, they were interviewing. We were hearing about it beforehand. The team was tweeting out on their official account whenever interviews wrapped up. And then we found out at some point yesterday, someone tweeted out that the Jets had in fact interviewed Gase, or not, sorry, not Gase, had interviewed Matt Rhule on Sunday. So that was obviously kept under wraps. So two and two together, I said on last night's show, I thought Rhule was the target. I expected him to be named the head coach. As it turns out, it was not Matt Rhule. The Jets balked at making Rhule an offer. No offer was made because in discussing Matt Rhule's coaching staff, it's been reported that the Jets wanted to have a heavy say in who he would bring on board as his coordinators, something Matt Rhule was not willing to do. And this is a situation where, honestly, I don't blame either side. I don't. I've talked to some people who disagree. Some feel the same way. But listen, as much as I wanted Matt Rhule here, the number one concern was, or one of the top concerns was his lack of connections within the league and what type of staff he would be able to assemble. Now, the Jets obviously liked what they saw in Rhule as a leader, as an experienced guy who'd worked extensively on both sides of the ball, who'd turned around a couple programs, a million things to like about Matt Rhule. But it's also the Jets, they're in a position where they have to make Sam Darnold their number one priority. They felt like they wanted a guy like Todd Monken, who for my money should have been the hire. I predicted it would be Rhule, and it turns out he was the number one choice. It wasn't. My number one choice would have been Todd Monken. But it was mentioned today that perhaps Monken was a name the Jets floated to Rhule, and he said he wanted to put his own staff together. I can't blame him for that. If you're going to pay him to be the man, then let him put his staff together. But at the same time, if you're the Jets, and if you say to Matt Rhule, who do you have in mind for your offensive coordinator, and he throws out a couple of names of guys you don't believe in or guys that haven't shown they can do it, I don't feel like either side was being unreasonable. Now, if this was a situation where the Jets were saying, we want to pick all your coordinators, all your assistants, and we want to assemble your staff for you, that would be a different ballgame. But I seriously doubt that was the case. I'm sure the Jets and if I had to guess, in order to not be dictatorial, I would imagine the Jets gave Matt Rhule a couple names to pick from to say, look, here's 2, 3, 4 guys we'd be comfortable with. You can sit down, interview them, hire the guy you want. But that's neither here nor there. Matt Rhule did not work out. Todd Monken, who should have been the hire, was not hired. He's now interviewing for some offensive coordinator jobs elsewhere. I think that's a real shame. So you bring in Adam Gase. Adam Gase, who was fired by the Miami Dolphins after 3 years, left there with stories of a disjointed locker room, unhappy players. Mentioned on the show last night that, you know, the thought that guys like Frank Gore, one of the more respected veterans in the NFL, Cameron Wake, another guy who has a lot of clout, that those guys were going to ownership to say that this thing wasn't going to work out with Gase. Owner Stephen Ross let him go. And we also, you know, there were also stories of some friction between Gase and ownership with Stephen Ross. You know, how true that is, or how much friction there really was. But we'll go. I'm going to stop there mid thought, and we're going to go right to Manish, because his time is valuable, and I can only imagine the amount of content he is trying to churn out at the moment. Manish, can you hear me?
Hey, Glenn, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I told myself right off the bat, wasn't a huge fan of the hire, but I wasn't going to, having spent the last couple of years unhappy with the head coaching situation, I need a fresh start. So I'm upset, but I got to move on. I know you like the hire. Tell me why you like the hire.
Well, look, I had said for the last week that I thought that Adam Gase, Todd Monken, and Matt Rhule were the three smart choices. Whatever order you wanted to put them in, I put Rhule maybe a notch below for the Jets job. I think in a vacuum, Matt Rhule might have been, you know, my top choice if you had a team with a veteran quarterback. But just given the fact that you know, he was going to take some inexperienced guys with him on his staff, I don't think it makes sense for the Jets, especially since the offensive coordinator that I know he wanted to bring aboard would probably not have been definitely would not have been the best choice or a quality choice for Sam Darnold's development. So for the Jets, I would have put him third. And then it really came down to Gase or Monken, you know, or Monken. Maybe I'm mispronouncing it, but I think both of those guys really would do wonders. I always thought that, you know, both those guys had the potential to do wonders for Sam Darnold, and they clearly chose the guy who had the previous head coaching experience. But I know Jet fans will look at his record and they'll look at the stats the last several years in Miami, but if you talk to some football people, you know, who have been around him, been with him over the last, you know, decade or so, they'll tell you, they'll tell you what he's all about and, you know, what he can potentially do for Sam Darnold. So I like the hire. You know, if I had a choice, I don't know if I would go with Gase or Monken. It'd be one of those two. I kind of flip-flop, you know, one day I'll be like, you know, I kind of like Monken, the next day Gase. So, you know, I guess in my mind that's a way of saying that both those guys were comparable choices. But I like the choice. I understand some fans aren't happy. Fans are always going to be unhappy. No one's going to, you know, be the slam dunk perfect hire, because that doesn't exist. And Gase is not a perfect hire, but I think, I think he'll do some terrific things, frankly, with Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I think that's a valid point. I know I said all throughout the process, I flip-flop a little. My thing was Rhule, Monken, and Kingsbury. Monken would have been my top choice, but I know that, you know, fans were going to be upset no matter who it was. I think Gase may be a bit more polarizing. One of the questions I have about Gase that worries me a little bit is the way with the Dolphins, not so much the record, because, of course, the record is, you know, it's on the talent as well. But one thing that I've seen with Gase is that when he's challenged or he's presented with a question that he doesn't like, he doesn't have the most professional demeanor. When he, you know, throw his arms out, roll his eyes, throw his head back, like he seems to get really all out of sorts just by being asked a question that he doesn't like. And not the greatest sign of maturity for a guy who's going to be leading a young team, acting in a way that you would think young players are acting, that he's there to teach them not to act that way. Any concerns with the way he carries himself when he's challenged in a public setting?
That's fair. You know, that really is a fair criticism of him. Look, he's 40 years old, I believe. This was his first head coaching job. Obviously, you are who you are, right? I mean, you can evolve, you can grow, you can become better. But at the core, you're pretty much the same person. I think he's, from everything I understand, you know, he is a fiery fiery person, a passionate guy. But what you said is warranted. You know, you're supposed to be the CEO of a billion-dollar franchise here, and you're supposed to comport yourself like that. Now, look, it's an emotional game. It's an emotional profession. And I think every Jet fan, or virtually every Jet fan, will tell you that you have to show some bit of life. Otherwise, you end up being like Todd Bowles, and I don't think Todd Bowles was Jets fans' cup of tea. So there's a fine balance there. But, you know, I have a pretty good handle of, you know, how Gase interacted with the media in the last 24 hours. I've seen, you know, some video clips that I had not seen before, which were, you know, entertaining, I guess. Look, can he rub, you know, reporters the wrong way? Certainly. I know a lot of people in Miami. I know virtually everyone who covers that team on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, you hear stories. You ultimately want to be fair and judge for yourself and judge, you know, by your own interaction. I mean, that's kind of how I carry myself regardless. You know, people hear things about other people and people hear things about me. But I would hope that, you know, you get judged by how you treat other people. And, you know, I personally, I'm not going to speak for anybody else on the Jets beat, but, you know, I personally, you know, will give him a fair opportunity. I think that's the only thing that's right. And I would hope that he would give me and, you know, other reporters that a fair opportunity as well. But, you know, I really think that, can he soften his edges in that respect? I would hope so. I would hope the Jets did their homework and, you know, discussed things like that in the interview, because these interviews are very exhaustive and you'd be surprised what people talk about and, you know, how detailed these interviews get. So I'm sure that was a significant part of the interview process for not only Adam Gase, but for the seven other candidates as well. So, you know, just getting back to your original point, yeah, that's something I think that he does need to kind of polish.
Yeah, and I think that's something I know for myself, and I've seen from a lot of Jets fans on Twitter who are looking forward to that opening presser and hoping that, you know, is that something that he can handle better and, you know, kind of hold his feet to the fire, so to speak, because I don't think it's so much getting along with the media concern. It's, you know, there was Bob was using the Voice of the Jets tweeted out a favorable article about Gase today, but within the article, it said that players had concerns that if one play went wrong, he would let it bother him for the next several plays and maybe be a bit distracted, which kind of is along those lines of composure and focus. But moving on from there, one of the stories there was some communication between Sam Darnold and Adam Gase, and how much stock do you put in that? I think that it's the optics to me is kind of like you're saying Sam Darnold and Adam Gase got along, but then at the same time we're hearing that they share the same agent. So what were the odds that Sam Darnold was going to say, "I don't want this guy"?
Well, look, I think you know, I've only known Sam for a little under a year, so you can kind of tell how he feels. He's never going to come out and bash somebody. That's not his makeup. It's not who he is. I don't think that's who he'll ever be. It's one of the, you know, the cool qualities about this guy. But you can get a sense when, you know, he really likes somebody or it's maybe, you know, a little bit more measured. I spoke to Sam earlier today, and, you know, I get a good sense that you know, he legitimately, genuinely likes Adam Gase. The fact that they share a same agent, a lot of that stuff, you know, I know fans typically don't talk about it, but then when they find out about it, they make more of a deal about that kind of stuff. That really, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I'll give you an example. Just in this coaching search alone, Matt Rhule and Mike McCarthy have the exact same agent. So, you know, is that agent upset that the Jets don't value Mike McCarthy and didn't hire Mike McCarthy? Or is he happy that Matt Rhule was one of the, you know, the last two or three guys that they really strongly considered? So, you know, I don't really think that matters, to be honest with you. Now, coaching agents are very influential. There's not that many of them. There's a few power brokers who kind of, you know, wield a lot of influence and authority to a certain degree. But ultimately, a team is going to hire whoever they want to hire. And, you know, Sam Darnold, yes, he's young, but he is an adult. He's 21 years old. So I don't think anyone was forcing him to say anything good or bad about Adam Gase. I mean, those guys spoke during the evaluation process. They spoke briefly after Gase got the job last night. And, you know, Sam Darnold's no dummy. You know, he's a smart guy. He's a young guy, but he's a very smart guy. I think he talks to the proper people too. He knows, you know, what Adam Gase is about and what Adam Gase could potentially not only do for him, but do for this offense and for this team as a whole. So I think it's genuine. I think, you know, he kind of channeled his inner Southern Californian by saying that he was super pumped and stoked for Adam Gase, and then went into a little bit more detail. Of all the things that Sam said to me earlier in the day, the one that really stood out to me was that he's really excited about what Gase can do with the players that they have on offense. I mean, obviously they're going to add a couple more players in free agency as well.
Of course.
But just in terms of, I don't remember the exact phrasing, but it was something, fans will be surprised about the personnel that we have on the roster now, because Gase will be able to utilize that personnel in a way that maybe had not previously been utilized. I thought that was a telling thing for Sam to reveal. And that really just kind of speaks to Gase's ability to be a little bit creative, a little bit more innovative, and ultimately, hopefully for the organization, propel this offense forward.
Yeah, and I know certainly where that's been a complaint to a lot of Jets fans. They feel like there are some guys, if given, or used a bit differently. But one last question for you, Manish. We heard leading up to this search that Mike Maccagnan, of course, as the GM, would be heavily involved along with Christopher. I believe Heimerdinger was in the room as well. But we're now hearing that what one thing that may have potentially sealed the deal was Peyton Manning. Former quarterback for Adam Gase in Denver, made a call to the Jets and spoke to Christopher Johnson on his behalf. Who do you get the, this hire is more, because I see a lot of the front office screwed this up, Maccagnan screwed this up, Johnson screwed this up. I feel like if it's a phone call from Peyton Manning to the owner that puts them over the edge, this is a Chris Johnson hire.
Yeah, I don't think that's accurate at all. I think that Peyton Manning talking to Christopher Johnson was just another piece in their evaluation. You want to get as much information as you can. And clearly Peyton Manning, who wouldn't want to talk to Peyton Manning, to be honest with you? I mean, I would love to talk to him. I'm sure even Christopher Johnson, who's a billionaire, would love to talk to him. But Peyton Manning did not make this hire. Peyton Manning...
I'm sorry. I said a Christopher Johnson hire. I did not Peyton Manning hire.
Right. No. Mike Maccagnan and Christopher Johnson worked together. My understanding is that it was a collaborative effort. Clearly, Mike Maccagnan is the guy who has to go to Christopher Johnson and say, "This is the person I prefer." Now, look, there's dialogue. There's back and forth, but Christopher Johnson is fully aware that Maccagnan knows more about football than he does. He doesn't pretend to know about the X's and O's about football and what would make a good head coach. Now, does he have a basic understanding? Of course. Does he have a feel for people? Yes. And I think that's the value that Christopher Johnson has. I think, he puts the BS meter up there and he's like, is this guy BSing me? Is he legitimate? Does he have his act together? Can he be the face of this franchise? All those elements are extremely important in a head coach. But that's only part of the equation. The other part of the equation is, can he actually coach? And what has he done to prove that he can coach? And what has he done to prove that he understands where the NFL is headed and has a skill set to develop Sam Darnold? Christopher Johnson can't tell you that. He's not a quote-unquote football guy.
Right.
But Mike Maccagnan has a much better sense of whether that's possible. So you marry those two principles, the intangible / leadership element of it, and then the X's and O's element of it. And that's where Christopher Johnson and Mike Maccagnan collaborate and come to is it a joint decision? Yes, it's a joint decision. Ultimately, the owner signs off on it, and that's what Johnson's role was. But there is no possibility that they would have hired Adam Gase if Mike Maccagnan did not feel comfortable. I mean, it really kind of – I don't want to say it flows from Maccagnan to Johnson, because, again, there's so much overlap and it is collaborative, and that's the epitome of the word collaborative. It is a joint decision. All that being said, Mike Maccagnan is really the guy who identifies the guy he wants the most and then discusses it with Christopher Johnson along this whole process, and then they come to a conclusion. But there's no way that they would have ever – hired Adam Gase or Rule or Monken or any of these guys if the GM wasn't fully on board and completely comfortable and completely sold It is interesting because I don't think there was a runaway winner. It's not like Adam Gase was the guy they wanted all along, or
Right.
that's not my understanding. I thought there was, like I said before, they interviewed eight guys. You had mentioned Kingsbury. I had a little bit of fun with Kingsbury over the last week and a half. I actually thought he would be a terrific offensive coordinator for Sam Darnold. I had reservations about whether he would be, not only would he be ready for the big chair to be a head coach, especially in this market, face of the franchise, and all the organizational elements that come with it. I think that's a little bit of a daunting challenge for Kingsbury. It'll still be a daunting challenge in Arizona, but it's a different type of challenge, in a place like this, putting it together a staff, all of those different elements. So I do commend the Jets. They had a pretty good understanding and a pretty good idea that he was going to sign with the Cardinals and be the next Cardinals head coach before he even came to New York. But you want to have smart people in the building. You want to pick their brains, and you also want to hold out the possibility if for whatever reason it doesn't work out with the Cardinals, maybe offensive coordinator is a potential landing spot for the Jets. So I thought they did their due diligence. They were smart to bring in a smart creative mind, who again, who I thought would be an awesome play caller for Sam Darnold. But head coach, I think that might, it's going to be difficult, and I'll be interesting to see how that unfolds, with the Cardinals.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to be keeping an eye on that because definitely a highly respected offensive guy, but really young. And I think that was some of the reservations fans had was he ready for that role? But Manish Mehta of New York Daily News, thanks so much for taking the time to join us, talk a little bit about this hire. One last question real quick. What will make Adam Gase's first season a success with the Jets? What does he have to do?
Win some games. That would be nice, right?
Good. That would be a good start. Yeah.
I don't think it's in Christopher Johnson's makeup to say you got to have a playoff mandate. And obviously,
yeah, I'm not a fan of those because so many things can happen. But
well, you can't. You also can't do that for a first year head coach. That might be the first. If he does that, it might be the only time that I've ever heard of in the history of the National Football League where a first year head coach has a playoff or bust mandate. For
I guess maybe a better question would be, what's a realistic expectation for his first season?
Well, it's interesting because we don't really know what the roster is going to look like. There's going to be an influx of players coming in because of the free agency money that they have available. I think a lot of it obviously depends on Sam Darnold's jump from year one to year two. I don't know what kind of pieces they're going to bring in. If they bring in the right pieces in free agency and through the draft, I think a 9-win season is realistic if they bring in the right pieces. And you would anticipate that they would bring in enough decent pieces. Like, I'm going in now in January, so don't hold me to it. Don't write it in ink. But I'm going in now thinking that a 9-win season is certainly a possibility, assuming health and assuming that Sam Darnold takes the next step, which I believe he will.
Of course, of course. All right. Thank you so much, Manish, for joining us here on Jet Nation Radio. Manish Mehta of the Daily News, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Glenn. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care. All right. Manish Mehta of the New York Daily News. As I said before the interview, I knew Manish was a fan of the hire. I am. I think we're coming up on the 24-hour mark from when the announcement was made. And when the announcement was made, I was miserable, went to bed. Of course, being 5 hours ahead over here in the UK, it was a little bit later here. The news broke right after I did the show, and I told myself I'm miserable, but I'm only giving myself 24 hours. Then I'm on board. He's the head coach. Until I have a reason not to support him as the Jets head coach, I'm gonna support him as the Jets head coach. I'm gonna put on some green glasses and go back and watch some of the Dolphins' better performances under Adam Gase, see what he did well. Listen, if you want to pick one or two things that Adam Gase did well, because that's what I was trying to do and find a reason not to be miserable about the hire. 3-3 against the Patriots. Todd Bowles was 1-7 in 4 years against the Pats. Gase is 3-3, so that's a huge step in the right direction. Far better winning percentage. I mean, he's an upgrade over Todd Bowles. But, Todd Bowles is 16 games under 500 in 4 years. Adam Gase would have to win one or two games next year to get in Todd Bowles' territory. Gase is 2 games under 500. He's 3-3 against the Pats. So he's if you look grappling at this point, trying to remember the fact that, you know, he was over 500 when he had Ryan Tannehill, ended up having to try to win some games with Brock Osweiler. And I think that was the first thing I said, actually, when the rumor started to swirl. Said the best thing I could think about regarding Adam Gase is he got Brock Osweiler to resemble an NFL quarterback for about 10 minutes, which is something I don't think anyone else has ever been able to do. So he has a winning record with Ryan Tannehill. I'm going to hang my hat on that. I'm going to hang my hat on the fact that he made Brock Osweiler look competent. Focus on the fact that he's 500 against the Pats, and he's been infinitely better than Todd Bowles. So those are the positives. Has he been the offensive mastermind genius he was advertised to be? No. But listen, as a fan, I'm not prepared. Having just been miserable for the last 2 or 3 years with Todd Bowles, I'm not ready to start a new regime with the same mindset. So at the 24-hour mark, and what the hell, we're at 23 hours or whatever. I'm on board with the Adam Gase decision, because what choice do you have? I'm not going to be a miserable bastard about this for the next 2, 3, 4 years to wait to see if he gets fired. And let's face it, man, hopefully the guy's around for a decade. But for me right now, I'm going to wrap this up. Like I said, this would be a quick episode. But my main concern, and we'll see if this plays out, we will see if it is an issue throughout his time here. But my number one concern with Adam Gase is his maturity level. And like I said, when you see a coach who's supposed to be the face of a franchise, and I get that it's an emotional game, and no, I don't want another robot Todd Bowles. Not that that matters. I mean, we've talked about that before. But you don't want a robot, but you don't want a guy who's reacting like a teenager when you're calling him to the carpet. Adam Gase, to me, when he makes a decision that doesn't work out and he gets questioned, he reacts like a teenager who got caught doing something wrong and gets to put my arms up, throw my head back, roll my eyes. I'm done with this. I'm over this. I don't want to talk about this. Leave me alone. Very, very immature. Change. But sometimes getting a job this quickly after being fired doesn't really spur a guy on to change, because he doesn't have some time to sit back and think about what he did right, what he did wrong. I said that when Rex went to Buffalo, went to Cleveland. When you hire these guys right away and they never have that humbling moment, or that being humbled to let it sink in, and they have to jump right back into being who they are, then I'd say it's far less likely that a guy makes drastic changes that were necessary. But we will talk about this and more next week. Thank you for tuning in for this short but sweet episode. Good to get Manish's 2 cents, and look forward to you guys tuning in the future. Have a great night.